Hi, welcome back to another episode of You the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram at You the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com, where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or sign up for my group coaching. I am so excited to be starting season 6 of the podcast. It is always an honor being able to sit here in this space with you. So thank you for your continued support and listening and sharing with your friends, rating the podcast, all the ways that you help support me to continue on to bring you these free resources and all these amazing guests. And speaking of guests, our first guest this season is Chastity Holcomb. Chastity is a wife, a mother, a trauma therapist, coach, and founder of Momfully You. After helping hundreds of clients heal from their childhood wounds, she is on a mission to help high-achieving moms end perfectionism by healing their childhood wounds. Her biggest belief: generations shift when moms heal. And in this episode, we talk all about childhood wounds. We break it down. We talk about the mother wound, the father wound, perfectionism. Chastity has tons of content around this topic, so be sure you go give her a follow over on Instagram at momfully.you. You can also find her on her website, momfullyyou.com. Her program, Mom Unwounded, launches on September 20th, so be sure that you are on the lookout for that. I will be linking that in the description of this podcast. She also is offering a free life class on September 20th, The Roadmap to Healing the Root of Your Perfectionism. Make sure that you grab your spot. That will be linked in the description of this podcast as well. I just want to say again, thank you so much for your continued support and joining me for season 6 of the podcast. If you do enjoy this episode, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me, and I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Chastity, welcome back to the You the Mother podcast. I'm so excited to be having you back on with me. You joined me, it feels like a million years ago when we were formerly Mimosas with Moms. And so I am so excited to have you back in this space because you're talking a lot about childhood wounding, perfectionism, and just really getting down to some of how our wounds impact our current life, and which just feels so aligned with so much of the work that I do as well, and the work that a lot of my audience is doing. So I'm excited for this conversation. Thank you for joining me. Tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me again. And it was funny to remember, I'm like, what was the other name? It was the other name you said. I'm like, that's exactly what it was. Back in the day, right? It feels like it was such back a long time ago and yesterday at the same time. But thank you again for having me. Yeah, I am super excited. So my name is Chastity. My husband and my two girls just located to Tennessee from Texas, and it has been a bit of an adjustment. It's very slow here, and the people take their time, and my nervous system is like, girl, is this what rest is? And so, you know, we're adjusting, and it's fun and dandy, you know? But yeah, much like you, I have spent a lot of my clinical experience and even coaching doing trauma work with moms. I noticed a lot of connections between back in the day, I used to see kids in foster care and they would come in and I'd work with them. I'd see them fresh, right? When the wounding was still happening or had just happened. And so my youngest client was like 2 years old and my oldest client is 71 years old. So I have this very vast perspective of what trauma looks like in a little kiddo who's two, what trauma looks like in a 71-year-old. And even when I'm working with moms and I'm seeing these connections, and really it boils down to what has happened, right? That keeps us in these cycles that we want so badly to get out of. And so it's become my mission to really unfold and really unravel, reveal this concept that I believe that generations shift when moms heal. And I think that when we get to a place of reckoning and understanding, there's a bigger why to us that didn't start with us. And once we start to make that shift within ourselves, our environment naturally shifts, right? So I'm on a mission to do that. And so I'm just excited for us to be chatting today about what that looks like for your clients, for my clients, and everything in between.
Yeah, I know. We definitely have a lot of similarities, like the start of our careers and to now and, you know, everything in between. Chastity, I guess, like, let's kind of talk about what does it mean when we're talking about child wounding. And, you know, there's a lot of big buzzwords on social media right now, the mother wound, the father wound, this child wounding. What does it mean when we talk about these things? Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm a girl of analogies. So I'm going to give you an analogy. I separate hurt from injury. I believe that childhood wounds is an injury that shapes us and changes us, right? So if you've ever like stumped your toe on the edge of your bed, you're like, dang it, that hurts. There's a pain there. In the moment, it stings. But typically, you go on about your day, right? Maybe you have a little scratch, you put a Band-Aid on it, and you go about your day. But let's just say you bang your toe on the edge of the bed and somehow you fall and now your hip is broken. And so you have to limp around the house and maybe you can't go down the stairs the way that you used to the day before. And let's just go even further and say you actually don't get any treatment. So now for the rest of your life, you're limping, right? All because of this little fracture that becomes this big fracture, right? So I believe the pain, the hurt, because we're human and we make mistakes and sometimes we say things, sometimes we do things that that hurt other people, right? That's a hurt, but it's in that moment, it's captured in that moment and it stays there. But that injury, the injury that impacts the way we activate and operate in our relationships, the way that we operate with ourselves, the way we see other people, the work that we go on to do or don't do, the cycles that we're stuck in, that injury that impacts every aspect of your life, to me, that is trauma. It influences everything around you. And so for me, my injury, my childhood wound is with my father, right? So I grew up in a single home. I never remember my parents being together. When I was in the fifth grade, my mom told me that my parents were divorcing by showing me a newspaper article. She circled the little sexy right there. Live in a small town. Everything's in the newspaper, okay? If you got married that weekend, they're gonna show you. If you got divorced, they're going to show you. So, yeah, she found it. She circled. She's like, there you go. And there's that. There was no conversation. There was no, this has nothing to do with you. This is a mommy and daddy thing. So typically what kids do when they hear big news and don't have any explanation around it, what do they do? It's me. Right. And so this internalization, my dad couldn't stick around because me. So then I'm growing up and I'm working hard and I'm never going to let anybody, you know, tell me that I can't do anything. And I'm this producer over here. I'm doing all the things. I'm trying to do all the things well because I don't want to give anybody a reason to leave me again. Right. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, and I'm sure you had this experience too, like when you're in graduate school and you're learning all these things, you're like, oh, okay. So that wasn't quite normal. Got it. And then they make us, y'all, they make us go to therapy, which I think is great.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So they made me go to therapy and I'm in there just saying, you know, school is hard and get a little stressed. She gave me some coping skills and she kept asking me about my parents. I'm like, I don't understand why we're here, ma'am. We're supposed to be talking about stress with school. You're off of topic. But she kept going back to this. And I feel like that was like my first introduction that there was something deeper to be looked at. And then, you know, my own therapy, hesitating to get into therapy, but getting my own therapy. And I'm so glad I did because not that it took the sting away from being wounded by my dad, but it did turn the wound into a scar. I'm no longer gushing out into my relationships, right? There's skin, there's scabbing over that. And so that's what I, that's how I kind of come to grips with childhood wounds. What about you?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say I love this analogy because I think that so many of the women that I work with now who are on this same kind of journey with mother wounding, father wounding, estrangement, cycle breaking. We kind of come into our own parenting journey and we're so scared that we're going to pass on some of these things, that I'm going to do the same things to my children. And I just want to like really emphasize the point that you were making about that, you know, when we don't get treatment, when we don't repair the hurt, that's when this continues and continues and continues and manifests into all these other things. You know, you're talking about overproducing, the perfectionism, you know, all these unhelpful coping skills that help us to survive, but maybe don't serve us in the long run, right?
Absolutely.
And so I don't think that the goal is ever to be this perfect parent that is never going to wound our children.
Right.
That's just unrealistic,
right?
It is unrealistic. Like, we are going to mess up. We're going to shout. We're going to hurt them. You know, we're going to stub their little toes sometimes, right? And just like the importance of this repair is so powerful. And I, you know, and just, you know, you and I both, how different would your life be if you had that repair? Oh. If you had those moments where when that hurt, somebody was there to explain it to you. Somebody there was to say, Chastity, this isn't your fault that mom and dad are separating and getting divorced. You know, and I have like a million of those that I could plug into here as well, right? But it's just so, so important. Mine is more the mother wound. So I talk a lot about the mother wound on my platform, and I'm really excited that you have the father wound, because I feel like now we can kind of have like this conversation of both, right? And I guess, like, what do you feel like is different between the mother wound and the father wound? Is there differences? Because as you're talking, I'm like, yep, same, 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 right? You know, where I was very much overproducing, perfectionism. I'm the doer and the fixer in my family. It was my family role. I was very parentified. I'm the oldest daughter. And my job was to take care of my mother and my siblings, right? And so, you know, I just, and then I think that we try and do some of these things so that other people aren't abandoning us, so that, nobody like finds me out that I'm not worthy. That's my big wounding that I'm doing a lot of work on currently. It's not the not worthiness. And I just feel like that, I feel like I'm constantly like pretending or overdoing, achieving, and like masking so that people don't find out that I'm not worthy. And the thing is we are worthy. You are worthy without all this other bullshit, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And in a lot of ways, I think the basis is the same, right? This worthiness, but the presentation that I've seen is different. So with my clients who, and you know, I'll kind of bring my story into my clients who struggle with the father wound have this thing about them where I'm going to get you before you get me. Not in the sense of like, I'm out to like harm you, but like, they struggle with vulnerability in the sense of, I cannot let my guard down too far. Like, I'll be friendly with you. They struggle a lot in their marriages. They have this like push-pull dynamic of like, I'm going to let you in. I want to be vulnerable with you, but when you get too close, I'm going to need to step back. You know, it's a lot of like, it feels risky to connect to people. And again, I think there's a lot of, you know, through lines for both the ends of the spectrum with the mom and the dad room, but clients who have the mother wound, and you let me know what you think, they want connection. They chase after the connection. It's like, I'll bend over backwards for someone to love me and to, sit across from me and be vulnerable and accept me. And sure, I'll tell you all my secrets. Okay, will you still love me? Like, I'll people please, right, to get this attention. I will, I know you better than you know yourself, because I'm so in tune, because I had to be in tune with my mom because she was so critical. So I learned how to maneuver in these spaces, right? And so they're more chasing after the connection, where the father wound is running away from it.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I agree. I think that there is a lot of overlap, right?
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
Definitely there's like these nuances between the two.
Yeah.
I created like the estrangement project, which does focus more on the mother wound. And that's like a big question that comes up from individuals who are struggling with the father wound. Like, will this help me? And I'm like, I think that there's a lot of messaging between the two that does overlap and that you will take away. But there are certain nuances of the father wound versus the mother wound that are just important to kind of explore and unpack.
Yeah.
And so I guess like speaking of that, why is it important to unpack our childhood wounding? And you kind of touched on this a little bit when you were talking about your grad school experience, which by the way, I don't feel like I realized I had a mother wound until grad school either. And even though there was like so much stuff in this relationship, I knew it was not healthy. I knew a lot of my stuff that I was doing was not healthy to stay in this relationship. But it wasn't until like I was learning how, like our courses on like diagnosing and you're like, I have words now. This all makes sense, right? And you're like learning certain diagnoses and like certain things about trauma.
It's a lot.
I would like, there was a couple classes where I bursted into tears, like in the class. And people are like, girl, are you all right? Like, not okay right now.
Actually, no, I'm not.
I'm learning so much, but not like, not about school, about myself and my family. And like, oh my gosh, like I just that I wasn't crazy.
I had
the language to be like, I'm not crazy that this stuff impacts me so deeply because that has been like drilled into me my entire life. Is that it? It's you.
Yeah.
That's the problem for it hurting you.
Right. And you're being ridiculous. You know? You're overreacting. Yeah. It's not that
you're
bad.
Too sensitive. Yeah.
Too sensitive. Nobody else is complaining about it.
Yeah.
And you would burst out into tears, but I would just dissociate. I'm like, la, 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 what am I going to eat tonight? Then come back to it. It's like, okay, here I am. What were we talking about?
And they're like, dear Chastity, we are going to talk about your parents now in therapy. It's like, I have no idea why.
I don't know why. Why would we do that?
Weird. Yeah, this is weird. Yeah.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
So unpacking
I forgot your question.
Childhood
oh, unpacking
wounding.
What's important. Yes. Well, I feel like, especially because we've talked about high achievers, right?
Yeah.
I feel like for a lot of high achievers who really gifted, right? And doing things well and want to be excellent in what we do. We try to heal through doing.
Yeah.
If I can pack my schedule down with all the projects, if I can fill my mind with these new sparkly things that give me this edge and this adrenaline, this new avenue for me to validate my worth, listen, I'm going after it. And not only am I going after it, but I'm running. Okay, you hear me? I'm running. Yeah. And so it's almost like the healing, we think, in quotations, comes through the doing.
Yeah.
But there comes a point, and for me, a lot of that point was motherhood. You slow down, and you have to, right? There's an adjustment to your pace, and for the first time, you're hit with the reality that you have to be a sum of more than just your doing.
It's the worst.
What do you mean, coach?
No, I love like that this happened.
No, I'm saying these were my words to my, what do you mean that I just have to sit here and there's, I can't be doing anything.
Right.
The baby is napping. I need to be on the emails doing this. Yeah. So it, you know, for a lot of,
this is me.
Listen,
this is all me.
Why do I have to stay still? So this like productivity shame comes into the picture.
Yeah.
Of if I am not doing, I am not worthy. And we will feel and riddle ourselves in guilt around doing for our kids, right? I don't have this for them. I didn't do this. I didn't, I'm not with all the doing things, right? And if we are not careful, the transfer, right, of this trauma then becomes about them, So it's like, well, if I can't control every action that I'm doing, if I can't control, you know, how much I can produce, maybe I can control them. And I know we don't like to talk about controlling our kids, but sometimes that's where that energy is now put onto them. Coach, I ain't got the energy. I'm tired, but you do. So maybe you can do this. And I think that those are accidental ways that we can create codependency with our kids, accidental ways that we can push our own perfectionism and control onto them. And then they grew up thinking like, well, dang, why my mama just didn't accept me for who I was. I was tired. I didn't want to be in band and cheerleading and all the things. I just wanted to be in this one thing. And she wanted me to. And so it's like sometimes, you know, if we don't have this understanding and we don't undo and unravel all of the things from our childhood wounds, we'll think that the patterns that we're existing in are normal, and not only normal, but of benefit to us and our kids.
Yeah.
When in reality, there's nothing wrong with being high achieving. There's nothing wrong with chasing goals. There's nothing wrong with putting attention, right, and intention towards your children at all. But when you do it from a place of fear, right, if I'm not seen as this polished, well put together mom who has well behaved kids and who live like this and have that, then people are going to judge us. And when they judge us, it's going to hurt my kids' feelings and they're going to feel this. So you know what? I'm going to make them the blah, 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 right? But that same fear is being instilled into them, right? Yeah. So we're just like passing fear down, but she got on a different outfit. She just looked different, but it's the same type of thing. So healing, it's important for you, the individual, most importantly. And I do a lot of challenging with my clients to say, yes, it's important for you to heal for your family. But they are the benefits, that they are the recipients of the healing for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're focused on being a calm mom over being emotionally safe and healthy for yourself, then you'll think that your emotional health is always attached to your child.
Yeah.
I'm only good when I'm around my kids. They ground me. They keep me sane. Well, what happens when they get older and they separate from you?
Yeah.
And you're like, but what? My babies, they keep me sane and keep me healthy. They're leaving me.
Yeah.
Well, how can we have our healing be for us, right? Mm-hmm. So they are the recipients of it, and not just the cornerstone of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think that like when we're not coming from this place, it is the recipe for burnout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're just like stuck in these high achieving to avoid healing or avoid looking at the wounding, or, you know, just the constant doing, the need to be perfect and, you know, just all of this, you cannot maintain that.
Yeah.
This will lead to burnout.
Every time.
I also think that when we're talking about this childhood wounding and the way that it impacts future generations, if we're not looking at it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
How do we make sure that we are breaking the cycles, but that it is for us, but that we're not passing on this stuff, right? It's like so complicated.
So how did that happen? I think for me, like when I'm thinking about my own journey, it all starts with honesty.
Yeah.
Like I've had myself included, as well as a lot of clients who, are so afraid to be honest. They feel like being honest about their wound, is a betrayal of the parent or, you know, that other people will, maybe that's their therapist or whatever program or whatever, you know, whatever it is that they're in, that someone is going to discredit, dismiss, invalidate that experience. So they don't want to put themselves in that vulnerable position anymore, which understood. Absolutely understood, right? But when you put yourself, you know, in a place of safety and you allow yourself to be honest about, no, this actually did hurt me.
Yeah.
It hurt me a lot, actually, right? And it's showing up. I call them like permanent markers, right? Where they're instances where you can look back over your life and you're like, yep, yep. And then this happened and yep. And I can definitely see where this was painful, right? Like being honest about those permanent markers, not to say that you are damaged, right? Or that you have to stay there, because that's another thing, especially if, you know, you're used to doing, you're used to seeing around corners and being forward thinking. To look back, especially about things that happened a long time ago, can feel like you're taking a step back, right? And even to put yourself in a position to where, coach, you know you're going to be sad.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm going to be sad. I know I'm going to feel the emotions that I've been trying to avoid with my doing. And I've heard a lot of clients say, I don't think I can stand it, right? This feeling of like, I'm going to lose it. If I let out this one tear that has been welling up for the last 30 years in the corner of my eye, if I let it out, everything is going to come out. And while that is, while releasing is a part of the journey.
Yeah, I just want to like normalize how real this part is.
It's real.
So real. And like, I think that we talk about healing journeys and all this stuff on social media, like it's like sunshine and rainbows and you're going to be like this perfectly healed person on the other side.
Like a little butterfly.
Which like, you will get there, but walking through that is like fire. And this like, this fear of I'm just going to completely unravel is so real. And you might.
You might.
And you might.
You might. And It's not just because of the pain. It's because you're going through an identity shift.
Absolutely. Mine looked like depression for like a year and a half when I finally like pulled that thread and it all came undone. I did come undone. I didn't know who I was anymore. Who is Abby if I'm not just like tied to my achievements? Walking away from relationships that were not serving me and were not going to get to a healthy place and having to choose me instead of self-abandoning myself over and over and over again. This is so real what you're talking about. It is dark and scary and messy and hard.
And hard. And it's why you need to have the perspective of like, I have to create safety for myself as I do this work. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just go into it thinking like you're about to go to Target. Coach, this is not a Target run.
We're going to go in here, we're going to black out and like buy all the things and then I'm going to feel better after.
That's not what this is, okay? But having that safety, right? That yes, you will have this identity crisis for a moment. Yeah. And as you're taking away some of these beliefs, not only about yourself, but from your family, right? But you're also having to put some of these new things on, right? And redefine, okay, well, what is it that I want? Who do I want to call myself? How do I want to, you know, show up in my relationships? How do I want to mother in this way? And so it all starts with honesty. Once you get to that place of honesty, and then it's releasing, like I just said, some of those old things and adopting these new things. And then I would say the last thing for me is I don't really like to set boundaries. Like, I don't like to start with boundary talking, because what are we protecting? Yeah. What are we guide railing? Like, what are we encapsulating? You have to have this this newness about you, because if we're protecting old things and you're protecting old beliefs about I'm not good enough. And so then your actions are in response to the boundary that you're not good enough. So coach, you're doing all the things. You're people pleasing. You're signing up for the things you really don't want to do. Yeah. You're over, you know, what did I just say? You're burning out. That's basically what I'm trying to say, right? You're trying to do all the things and it's leading you to burnout. And so, but once you have been honest, go through that healing journey, you have this kind of new identity that you've created for yourself, then you put on these boundaries that include boundaries with yourself, boundaries with your family, extended family, and your current family, because it's nearly impossible to function as this quote unquote new person with old boundaries. Yeah. I tell my clients, it's like, when we come into sessions and we're working together, you know, just imagine you walk out with this like white gown on, you just sound cute. You got your white gown, you know. And then you go back home or you go back to environments that are a little muddy. Yeah. I promise you, you're going to get mud on your white outfit. Yeah. And not to say that life happened, you know, there are going to be things that mud you up, if you will, right? But I'm talking about drenched in mud to the point that every time you come back in, we're having to work double time to get you back to this white, right? But when you have a lifestyle, a habit of protecting what is important and valuable to you, then the washing off of the mud becomes a little easier. It takes a little less time, right? Is it going to be hard when someone reminds you of your mom or your dad, or when your kids, like, was it my oldest? I can't remember. They run together. But she was talking to my husband about his dad, and she's like, "Mommy, where's your dad?" And I was like, "Oh, that was a little muddy. That was real muddy."
We have those conversations at my house too. They're hard.
They're hard. You're going to have those hard moments. But when you've put yourself in a position to where you're kind of walking out this journey, yes, you'll cry. It won't feel good, but you'll take your deep breaths. You'll kind of do whatever the healing work that you've kind of been talk through and walk through. And the bounce back time.
It gets less. I agree. I had some muddy moments this past year. And I had two big ones that were pretty muddy, and I remember I called Maggie, who I partner with on a bunch of like the estrangement project kind of stuff, and we both have mother wounds, so she's like my girl who's in it with me, but she's also a therapist and like gets all my other stuff too. And I remember like calling her when I was like in the first one this year and just sobbing on the phone, like, I don't want to go back to 2021 when the bottom fell out and I pulled that thread and everything unraveled and I was not okay. I don't want to go back there. And it took me about like 2 weeks to kind of like bounce back, right? And it's like, so the first time it took me like a year and a half to like claw my way out of this like hole. It does get less. That bounce back does get less. It doesn't mean that we're not going to still have like some of these grief waves that come up, but it does get less. That wound just becomes less raw. Things still touch it. It still hurts, but it's not this gaping, oozing wound that it was at the beginning, right? I also want to just like really drive home your point about the need for safety when we're doing some of this healing work, because I do think it's so important that you do have safe people, safe tools that you're utilizing, safe resources, whether that's therapy, coaching, you know, groups, whatever. Safety is so, so important. That's like, I think at the beginning of my estrangement journey, one of my, I don't really like the word forgiveness, because I don't think that we have to forgive to move on. That's just my personal belief. But some big, a big part of like the forgiveness piece for me was self-forgiveness that I had not left about a decade before I did. I should have left 10 years before I did that relationship. And in not doing so, I drug my oldest along with me for the ride. And so a lot of my forgiveness was, how could I have like put my child in certain situations, and, you know, just all the guilt that kind of came up around that. And I think that part of the safety piece, though, is that 10 year ago version of Abby was a young single mother who did not have any safety. I didn't have financial safety. I wasn't living in good places. I wasn't in good relationships. You know, and so, you know, now you like fast forward the 10 years, the 4 years ago when I estranged, I did have a loving relationship. I was financially stable. I was able to get the resources, you know, and so these things do matter. And, you know, like, you cannot be shaming and judging yourself for decisions that you make when you are lacking that safety.
Yeah.
Right? So important.
Yeah. And I'm glad you bring that up too, because it goes into that, like, somehow this is my fault. Well, we'll find those back doors to that belief. We'll, you know, convince ourselves, because we have been convinced, right, in some form or fashion, that, like, you had a hand in this. It's like, no, but.
Well, if you talk to my family, it is 100% my fault, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yep. They probably have stories about Abby that, you know.
Like, so Abby was 10 in that story, and the adults were adults, but okay. I know. Chastity, I did want to kind of pick your brain. I know that you work a lot with Christian moms. And in, like, this is kind of where I struggle some with, like, my faith, is that I feel like when we're estranged, we get it from all angles, right? Our family of origin, society, religion, everywhere. That, like, but she's your mother, but he's your father. They've done so much for you, you know? And then you can, like, attach Bible verses if you are religious to certain things.
My eyes twitching, y'all.
You know? And so I guess, like, it can be really hard to navigate some of these things when you are tied to your faith and healing yourself. How do you kind of untangle some of these with your clients?
Listen, I love this. I love this, because you're right. Scripture and faith has been weaponized against, you know what I mean? Moms.
Yeah.
A lot of different things. Okay. Yeah. but also, you know, in this realm of, like, honor your father and your mother, right? That's the scripture. And I can't remember the verse. I had it written down. I probably should have brought it with me today. But the scripture that's quoted is, you know, honor your father and your mother. This is the way of the Lord, X, Y, and Z, right? The scripture that comes after that is, fathers, do not provoke your children with anger because it crushes their spirit. Oh,
I have chills.
And somehow, that scripture.
We don't say that part.
We don't want to talk about Bruno, okay? We don't want to talk about that scripture because it holds them accountable. Yeah. I think people can always use
the blood is thicker than water one is one that we, like, chop off and don't say.
Coach, is that even in the Bible? Yeah. Like, what? And there's so many things in the Bible that are very triggering if you read through, and there's a lot of abuse that happens. And people will use that as a sense of, like you said, blood is thicker than the water. This is the only mother that you have. Mm-hmm. But we have no evidence that, you know, Jesus's parents were abusive towards him in any kind of way, but he left them.
Yeah.
He had to leave his family system to go and fulfill, you know, his calling. Yeah. They didn't want him to. And so it talks about, you know, children, obey your mother and your father. Well, are we talking about children? Yeah. Or are you saying that just because I'm your son or your daughter, I'm always supposed to listen to what you're supposed to say? Like, whose voice is supposed to be higher in this situation? Yeah. And so, you know, the whole honoring, I believe that you can have regard for someone in the sense of, okay, you brought me into this world. I have consideration that you got your own stuff going on, and that there are some things that brought you to the person that you are today. It stinks that I had to pay for it, but I can understand that, right? Honoring does not mean that you don't have boundaries. Right. It doesn't mean that you stick around and you allow yourself to be battered and abused and you know, so many ways, to the point where you're so defeated. You know, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, God doesn't want you operating like that. You know, like, how do we kind of reckon with that point of, like, honoring, and even to your point about forgiveness? Yeah. Forgiveness is a two-way street. You know what I mean? Like, releasing some of that tension in your heart to say, you know what? I can't let you have this place in my heart, right? But also, we think, forgive and forget, right? That's another one. Forgive and forget. Turn the other cheek, coach. Listen. forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. Yeah. It means that I'm no longer attached to the harm that you caused me. Yeah. But to have reconciliation is the person forgives that has been done wrong to. And then the person who did the wrong repents verbally with their actions. They turn away from what they did, right? So that you can have that healthy relationship. But nobody wants to talk about that side because it upholds the story of them to be able to operate and do the things that they do out of control or manipulation. And so I'm glad you brought that up. It's one of my favorite things to talk about because it's always misused and mishandled. And people are in relationships suffering because they don't want to be a bad Christian. They don't want to be a bad person, right? Well, I do only have one mom. Yeah, but the mom you got, she's been hurtful. Yeah.
Really hurtful.
Really hurtful. Yeah.
I know. I feel like for me, like I do have that regard, right? And I think like my clinical hat is a really great one to bring into some of this like regard piece is like I can objectively look at my mother and explain exactly why she is the way that she is and have a level of compassion for why, right? There's a lot of trauma there that it was unresolved and it manifested into, you know, her own wounding, right? And so I think like for me and like, you know, not carrying all that stuff in your heart, like you're talking about, I just like, don't like the word forgiveness, but I have like,
I have
acceptance, understanding. And I guess like, I can just kind of wish you well from afar, you know, for me, I just like clearly stated the boundary of, hey, I can't be in a relationship where the silent treatment is used. Especially when it touches my child. Can we move forward where this doesn't exist? And the silent treatment continued. And here we are 4 years later, you know? And like that, it's just like as simple as that. It's painful and it hurts. And it's a wound that I think I'll carry my whole life. It's something that I'll grieve my whole life. It's something that I don't ever think is going to come back around, and I just feel like for me, like there's a deep knowing of that, you know, but I think that there's a lot of us like that, and it is just really crummy that some of these things do get weaponized against us when even though that you are the adult, you were the child in this relationship, and the responsibility should be on the parent. You know, I take like my parenting responsibility so seriously, and that you just have such an impact on these little people that are going to turn into big people, and you will always have that impact. And so just using our impact for good and not for harm.
Yeah, I know. And like you said, it is that wave of grief and then it's this constant reminder of like, the healing work that you're doing, that we're doing, everyone listening is doing, it's for us, but it's not only for us, right? That it's a shared gift that we give to ourselves, a shared gift that we give with our kids, because it is weighty. Parenting is weighty. Mm-hmm. And we were talking before the podcast started, how when I first started Mindful You, I wanted to talk about the light airing. Come on, light girl, let's do this self-care. You know, and all those things are great. And at a point, we do need to have those conversations. Yeah. And I didn't want to be the deep therapist, but these things matter. Yeah. When you think about like the weightiness of parenthood, it can feel intimidating. Yeah. Oh my goodness, my kids are looking at me every day for motivation.
It's exhausting. It's exhausting.
That they're listening to the way I talk to my husband, they're listening to what I say about this. I mean, it's just a lot going on. But when you have, it's almost like this honor for the role. Yeah. This is a weighty, heavy role, and yet it is one of the most empowering, liberating things that we can do for our kids. And it's something that will outlive us. You know what I mean? Like when we think about you know, grandparents or their parents or way back when, and some of the choices that they made, how it impact the way that our parents were raised and then their kids, right? So it's like we are resetting the system. That's a weighty thing, but oh my goodness, this is so empowering for you to literally be able to shift your generation. That's what we're doing.
My bloodline definitely needed somebody to refresh the system. And so heavy as that role is, I'm so glad to be the person that's doing it, right? And I just think that everybody who's listening, you should feel brave and courageous and strong, even when it's like knocking you on your butt, because it is like walking through fire sometimes. It's really hard. It's really messy. Take care of you, mamas.
That's right. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. You can do it.
Chastity, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. These shared experiences are so powerful. So thank you for sharing some of your experience and the way that you're impacting other women. Chastity, tell my listeners where they can find you.
Yes. So you can find me momfullyyou.com. That's the website, momfullyyou. Over on Instagram, Momfully You, on my podcast. Just look up Momfully You. You'll find it.
Perfect. All of that will be linked in the description of this podcast. Chastity, thank you again for helping me support you, the mother.
Thank you for having me.